Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, behold, here I come. In the volume of books, it is written about me.
In the volume of books, it is written about me.
To do your will, O Lord.
To do your will, O Lord.
Behold, here I come.
Behold, here I come.
In the volume of books, it is written about me.
In the volume of books, it is written about me.
To do your will, O Lord.
To do your will, O Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. That was written of the Messiah, but it's true for you too. Amen. In the volume of books, it was written about you, that you will do the will of God. Now, Psalms 11, verse 3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And now, that's a rhetorical question. Meaning, if the foundations are destroyed, there is very little or that a righteous person can do. Now, remember, it says a righteous person. Okay. Now, first start from verse 2 and we see. For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. Now, the wicked prepare their bow and arrow that they may shoot secretly at the person who is upright in heart. Upright in heart means who is pursuing the will of God. Okay? Now, this, from the first human beings that lived on the earth, there is a war between those who choose to follow the will of God and those who choose to follow their own things. Now, they make a choice not to follow the will of God, and then they will not just stop at that. They will never settle until they are secretly attacking those who do the will of God. Praise the Lord. From Cain and Abel. Let me even read there, even if I... Genesis chapter 2. Eh? Is it 2? It's actually 4. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife. First of all, I want you to notice one thing, although it's totally irrelevant to this. The Bible uses the word knew when it's talking about sex between a man and his wife. Now, when it's not his wife, he says slept with what... other things. Eh? The word new is only for the wife. Go and check that out. Okay? And she bore and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Okay, we are going. Then she bore again, this time brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Quickly. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Go ahead. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Now, this is the key thing, by the way. Because you see, people who spend their time, I told you, now you see we have a new carpet here. I told you the other one, they went and put it in feces. And it's other people. And they did it on purpose. Because they have gotten off the way of God. Now they have to fight everybody else. You understand? Whereas those who are following the will of God, there is not, you don't have any time to fight anybody. You understand? Now that is, and from this time, when God says, and if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now everybody, if you do well, won't you also be accepted? Now Abel did something good, Cain did something fake, and God accepted Abel and did not accept Cain. And then Cain starts fighting. Now that has happened from that time up to today. Praise the Lord. Now when the foundation is destroyed, what can a righteous person do? Now you see, when you get into anything, any endeavor, and you see, I have to tell you some of these things because you are going into ministry, some of you, okay? And you have to understand, when the foundation, there has to be something on which there is the foundation. And there is a desire by the enemy to move it, to shift it. And we've seen this happening so many times. Now, once the foundation is shifted, a righteous person, not an evil person, a righteous person can do nothing. Actually, that's what some translations say. When the foundation is destroyed, a righteous person can do nothing. So then you have a scenario where somebody starts off on a solid foundation, knowing what God called them to do, and they are pursuing that foundation. Go back to the other Genesis thing where we ended. If you do well, would you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Now, sin lies at the door of everything. Everything. everything, you depart from the foundation, the next stage is sin. And sin can mean anything, but the next stage is sin. Because it lies at the door. And the scripture says its desire is for you. Okay? Now, I remember when I was starting serious ministry, I read a book by a certain man who I don't want to mention because he has since gone into other things which are not of God. But he said that just like childhood is preparation for adulthood. So a child, you teach them to speak, to read, to write, and what, because you know these are skills they will need in their adulthood. He said life is preparation for eternity. So the whole of life is preparation for eternity. Now when you understand that, and you live your life from the eternal perspective, everything I'm doing it for a reward that I'll receive on that day. Okay? Now, then you set, and I chose that's how I will set my foundation. Everything I do is not for here and now. It's for the life hereafter. Now, when that foundation is set, then you cannot even fear that I'm going to say this, they might kill me and what. No, there is nothing here for you anymore. You know that everything I'm doing is for here. Now, when that foundation is set, you cannot stand up and start fighting a fellow minister whom even God has sent to you for you to uplift them. You understand? You actually do the best to make sure they reach their potential. Why? There. If somebody fights you back because they have gone off the way of God, like Cain, then let them fight. But you will never see me standing up to fight another minister. It's not possible. Because there is no reward in that. So it's like sitting an exam and they tell you, we'll discuss 20 marks. Then 20 marks. Then you spend 1 hour on a question which has 5 marks or 0 marks. So we have no time for those things. Eh? But that doesn't mean people do not try to, you know. And that doesn't mean they don't lose, because they attack and they lose. Praise the Lord. But you see now these foundations, I have seen people. Now, I say these things just to warn. I've seen people who start with proper, solid foundation. And you can see there is somewhere they are going. Then at some stage of the ministry, they say that, you know, the foundation shifts to how many people came. How many people do you have? And they start counting people who come for their churches and fellowships as if they are herds of cattle. Now, then the foundation has shifted. Now, when it shifts, you do everything to make sure you get people. So you're governed by people. Then you become like Saul, who God says, kill everything there. Then he said, when I saw the people were scattered. Why did you offer a sacrifice which was unlawful? The people were scattered. Now you see, Saul starts well, and then at some stage he's ruled by the people. So then you start counting numbers. That, you know, we have these people and what. Let me tell you something. You know, they called me and told me that, you know, the people have, last week there were very few people at fellowship. And now I really don't care. And I'm being honest. I absolutely don't care. And I learned that from my brother, Prophet Elvis. Long ago, he told me that even if I came to fellowship, that was not the one you know now. It was a long time ago fellowship. He said, if I came and found two people, the only thing that would matter to me is, am I there by the Spirit of God? If I am, that's perfectly okay. Like, I don't care. By the way, and now, when he says things like those, I immediately swallow them and eat, chew on them until they become true for me as well. You understand? So it's now there are, number of people have reduced. Let them reduce. If you don't even come next Friday. By the way, let me tell you, I don't care. Because if I started, the foundation will shift. And then, what can a righteous person do? Then are people going to be my foundation? Are they the ones who called me? Are they the ones who sustain me? It is God who sustains me. And I know how to be sustained by Him. Praise the Lord. Which I also learned. So now, when people start looking at people, that's why people start attacking. You know? You know, now he has many people. Now our people are going. Now what? Then the attacks start. And then the foundation shifts. And remember, sin is at the door, waiting for you. Now, the next thing you know, somebody who you knew to be a man of God has become something you don't understand, because he let the foundation shift. And you see, this affects all the world. By the way, it affects more people than you can imagine. Because people came. I remember the Lord told me some time ago, I called you, he told me this himself, I called you to change people's lives, not to build a ministry. Amen? Then he even showed me what Jesus said. in John 17. Now, there are people, if you were to judge them by how big their ministries were, they were failures. But in the books of heaven, they are absolute successes, including Jesus Christ. Go to verse 12, verse 11. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Okay? While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now you see, Jesus is giving himself an appraisal. Do you know what an appraisal is? At the end of your work, and they tell you how well you've done. Now he says, his appraisal is the people that you gave me, I have not lost a single one of them, except the one who was supposed to be lost. Amen? Now, you know, until you get into ministry, you don't really understand these things. Somebody the other day called me, somebody whom I know to be very happy and bubbly and what, and she was telling me, I'm tired. I don't see there's anything to live in this world. I'm considering suicide. Now I could not sleep. You see, because how can somebody who God brought to me commit suicide? Really, it cannot happen. So now I started praying to God, what is the problem? How can I help this person? Now, anybody else who calls me at that time does not get any attention from me, because you have to leave the 99 and go for the one. Now, for you, if your problem is you're broke, you first be broke. I don't want somebody to what? I don't want somebody to commit suicide on my watch when they were sent to me. So I said, what could the problem be? So it really consumed me. And so I called, I told her, now, you have to come and see me once every week and without fail. Then the first day I didn't have transport. I said, don't ever give transport as an excuse. Transport is on me. You come. So it only took 2 weeks for the person to come back to life and say, wow, life is good. What? Now, do you know how that would sit on my... You know what Paul says, that how many of you are lost and I'm not indignant? Like when God gives you people, like, you know that even when one person is broke, doesn't have a job and what, it somehow affects you. You cannot just be there and be happy and prosper when God gave you people and they are not prospering. Like it's, now that's why I get tough on some of you. Somebody comes to office and I get tough on you because I know, like, I know potentials, I know people's potentials. God gave me that as a gift. That's why I can see people from a distance whom I don't even know. From a distance, and I see that person is going to be powerful. Now, if God sends them to me, I will do everything in my power to make sure they achieve their potential. Now, what about me? It doesn't matter. Me, mine is in heaven. Do you understand? Like, when I set my foundation that life is preparation for eternity, and I said life is preparation for eternity, now, then I know Jesus is coming soon, and it's going to end anyway. I'm not even going to live up to 90, although I would have if he didn't come, but he's coming. Praise the Lord. So now, what am I fighting for on this earth? I mean, quite honestly, what's there to fight for? It's going to end very soon. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is some of you have to understand that you have to set your mind that I'm not going to get into those wars. I'm not going to get into those battles. I do not have anything. What is my foundation? First of all, you have to understand what your foundation is. Okay? What is the foundation? Then you understand the eternal perspective. You know? You know, the other day I was with somebody whom I'm not going to tell you, but he said that death experience, when you're passing from life to death, the first thing that comes to you, and this is somebody who has experienced it. Who else has experienced it? The other people here, but they just don't want to say, because they are shy babes. The first thing that comes to you is, if you've done anything to make somebody's life miserable, it all turns down on you and you feel very sad about it. Very sad. You see things which you do here flippantly and you don't even care about it. You tell somebody off, do this, do that, and all that. Now, at that moment, even if you're going to heaven, as all of you are, when you're passing on, suddenly you realize, I should not have said this thing to this person. It made their life bad. I should not have done this. And especially said. Now you think that Jesus is joking when he says you'll have to give account for every idle word you say. Okay? Like you make somebody feel bad. And that somehow weighs on you when you're passing on from, you know, I don't know if it's about rapture, because none of us is going to die. You understand? We are all going to be raptured. Some of you don't believe that, but we are all going to be raptured. Glory to God. So You remember last week when last time I was here, when I told you, even God giving you an instruction about somebody and you see the consequences, how it affects you. It really affects you when you don't do what God told you to do. Remember when I told you that? So when you get that feeling, you understand that you're not going to say something negative to somebody, because God is trying to lift people up. And now, unless he lifts them up and makes them believe in themselves, believe in who they are in him, believe in what they can be, then they cannot do the things he has called them to do. They will be like the children of Israel, whom God says, my firstborn, release my firstborn. Then he does so many things to just show, release my firstborn. Then they come and say, we're like grasshoppers. And God has done everything there is to do to just show you as different. And now the word reverberates across the world. The Egyptian empire, which God destroyed for Israel, was the greatest empire at the time. But in a matter of a few decades, it had collapsed because the army had all drowned in the Red Sea. So every other empire knows now it's the time to attack. So now God has done all that just to say, my firstborn. Then you come out and say, we're like grasshoppers. Then he tries to say, tries to make you see what's ahead, does everything in his power to show you what is there. Then he says, now it shall come to pass when you've built cities and dwell in them and planted vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and when you prosper and when your barns are full, then you say, man, we are tired of this man. Forget them. He's showing you something ahead. Now trying to lift you up, lift your spirit up. Now when he cannot, there is nothing he can do for you. Absolutely nothing. Then you just become bitter people who do not know how to justify God. And there are so many people who are Christians and don't know how to justify God. Remember one day some pastor came and taught about forgiveness. Forgiveness, you have to forgive. Then he said, now, start praying. If there's anybody you have not forgiven. Then some lady lifted up her hands and said, Mukama, unkoze bintu bingi. Neku guno omurundi nkusonyi. Now, and she was serious. I've forgiven you. You've made me suffer. But okay, now that they have preached forgiveness, I am forgiving you, God. Now, those are people who do not know how to, do not understand how to get there, to justify God. Praise the Lord. Justify God. Amen? Do what? In everything, just know, when I understood that there is no good thing he will hold. So if I'm not seeing it, I ask him, how am I supposed to receive it? Because I know you want me to have it. Tell me, what am I not doing right so that I may receive? How do I connect to this? Then, try asking that. He will show you what is. Amen? Then he will show you now, to connect to that goodness, you have to change this and that. And we are changed all the time. Remember I told you about pruning? It's about prunes all the time. Now recently he told me to cut my inner circle of people who are around me even further. Amen? So if I don't answer your WhatsApps, it's okay. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So anyhow, so these things, when I have seen foundations shift. Okay, I'll say this again. 25 years I've been born again in these churches here. And I have seen people move from this to that, to that, to that, to that, until they are unrecognizable from what they once were. The foundation has shifted. The foundation shifts to money. Now, when the foundation shifts to money, then you do everything to justify money. You understand? You do everything to justify receiving money. And then you've moved the foundation from something spiritual to something natural. You remember when Prophet was talking about, Jesus saying it's better for him to go so that the Holy Spirit can come. Now, when the physical Jesus is there, he can only reach a few people. Yeah, Jairus is calling you, you're what? Then he goes there. Then, you know, he heals. Then now a woman with issue of blood comes, touches. So now that's very limited. Now he's telling them, for you to get the general thing, the physical thing has to first go away. Now the spirit does not need, he will minister to people en masse when the physical thing is gone. Now that's a secret that connects. This gentleman here, Apostle Goodwill, were discussing it with him yesterday. By the way, he's here. You clap for him. The apostle of money is here. Glory to God. Now, he was expanding it yesterday and saying that even, let's say money. If you think your wealth is money, then you are in the physical. And there is a limitation to what you can do. But when you start understanding that my wealth is not money, it is something beyond money. It is something spiritual. God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. Amen? Every spiritual blessing, not every financial blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Let's first read it. Yes, Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, notice the treasures are not of silver and gold or dollars and shillings. God does not have dollars and shillings where he is. The treasures are of wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom to make those things, because they are what you need in the world in which you exist. You understand? Now, when people start thinking that the treasure is actually money, and God is saying, in whom is written all the riches and the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, then you've missed something. Then you hold on to something which is material, yet actually if you release it, it is expedient for you to release it that the spiritual one might come. Do you understand? Just like it is expedient for Jesus to go, that the Holy Spirit might come, it might be expedient for you to release something so that the spiritual thing comes. Now, when the spiritual thing comes, you get what is actually called real wealth. Now, that wealth does not manifest in the form of how much money I have in the bank and so on. It manifests in the form of knowing, of an assurance, of knowing that if I need something, it has to show up because I need it. Do you understand? Now, if that money is taken out, now you see what you know what they are doing in the banks, these guys of yours. They have hammered serious taxes. Who knows? Who is a banker here? Tell us what they have done. Where are you? They remove, forget about, some of you are even asking us for, give us your bank account. Mobile money is fake. Bank accounts are even worse now. So if you want to give, you give. How can you be stopped by 0.5% tax? That means you're broke. If you want to give, you give. If you don't want to give, don't waste our time. The account is put here in a way every Friday. So the thing is, so suddenly you're off because of 6,000 shillings a month. That over VPN, what? The spirit of sin lies next to you. When you start thinking those things, sin can be brokenness. So you start making a lot of noise over 6,000 shillings a month. Really? Then over you're in, some people say that, no, we're just protesting because it's a fake tax. No, you're just broke or mean. Now they have gone for the banks. You deposit someone, they take off a good percentage of it on withdrawal. And a good percentage, you understand? Like, okay, I know it's real theft. I know it's theft. But I'm going to be my Lord Jesus, who gives his money bag to a thief. Now, that's what shows you that somebody knows the treasures are not there. So since Judas thinks treasure is money, give him the bag with all the money and let him chill. When you want to pay tax, you go for a fish. You don't ask Judas because he has stolen all the money. So you go for a fish just to show, because you see, until people, now what makes people, and you see this thing all the time, somebody comes and say, you know, I've given and nothing has happened. You've not first understood. First understand, okay? Now when you give with, let's read this, start from verse 2 again. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches. Now, the riches come from the full assurance of understanding. Amen? Now, there is something you don't understand and there's something you understand. Now, when you get to a point of understanding it, you know exactly how it works. Do you understand? Okay? Now, and that means if you understand it, now even the New World Order people, I tell you, they don't want to accept that there's something they don't understand. That's why they'll dismantle the human body to try and see how to make it. Because what are they looking for? Understanding. So then they say, if you cannot build it from scratch, then you don't understand it. So there are mechanics in Katwe who think they understand Toyotas, but they don't. They will only understand them if they can build them from scratch. That is the theory. Now here there is a fullness of assurance of understanding. That I know how this thing works. It has worked for me 1, 2, 3 times, so you cannot scare me. If you put your taxes on the bank, no problem. I have the full assurance of understanding. Now, understanding, it says above all things, get understanding. Now, understanding gives you a control. And that's what those people are looking at. looking at, even understanding I've seen so many things. I've seen people preaching grace and they don't even understand it. They just know it in theory and they are preaching it because they have not got the full assurance. Now, when you turn them here left, right, then they are lost. Of course, there are more people preaching prosperity who don't even understand how it works. And the truth is, if they actually went down and became children who are tearing apart a toy to see how come it's moving like this, how come this tire goes this way? Now, that is what, then they will gain understanding. And then when you have understanding, you have the full assurance. Because, you know, I know how that works. I know it. I know the first and last of it. If it gets broken here, I know. If there's this machine, which is very important. Like, I remember some place where I used to work in a newspaper. And there was this guy who had worked there for like 25 years. And the machine, which prints the papers, would get spoiled. And the guy, even if he's on leave or at night, they would call him. And he would just come like this, looking very, you know, very haggard beards with a cigarette, and then comes and just touches someplace, then rolls. Is it okay? Yes. Then he goes to sleep. Now, he had full assurance of understanding. Now, when he left, so when the thing is not working, he knows how to make it work. But now somebody, you sowed, you reaped. You sowed, you did not reap. You sowed, you did not reap, then you reaped. You don't have understanding. You're gambling. Now, then one day, that guy was fired by some human resource who didn't know what she was doing. So he said, hey, you fired me, okay, I've gone. So he went home and switched off his phone. And those machines get messed up very frequently. And remember, there has to be a newspaper tomorrow. Eh? So they went and called the guy, begged him, said, you fired me, you'll be there. So they begged him. So he came back on his terms. He gave them very, very tough terms to come back. Because that night, they just paid him there a lot of money just to come and fix it that night. Otherwise, there are no newspapers tomorrow. Then the guy comes with his overall and his cigarette, and nobody knows what he does. He just goes under the thing, start. Is it okay? Okay, I've gone to sleep. So, full assurance of understanding. Praise the Lord. Now, these things, any of these things, you have to be able to understand the working of it. That means you can make it work when you want. You can make it not work when you don't want. Praise the Lord. Now, that is the riches. Now, that's the real riches of anything you touch. And now, you don't move on to the next until you've got a total understanding of this one. Let's say we are dealing now with finance. Now, I understand the principle. I know how it works. I can make it work. I don't hope. There is no hoping. There is full assurance of understanding, okay, which is faith, to the knowledge of the mystery of God. Now, all these things in mystery. Now, why do people shift the foundation? Because they have not understood how these things work. They have not understood the spiritual principle that is even natural. That when you pursue something and put it above God, it will run away from you. Now, when you don't care about it, it will come to you. Now, I'll tell you, there are people, there are ministries which will get so many people without even caring about them. Like the man who told me, if he finds two people, he's okay. Does he have two people? But he doesn't care. And that is the principle. Now, I'll even tell it to you, like, you know, in the natural. If you are a place and there are all these guys, actually, let me even tell you a true story. One day I was in some place I'd gone to cover games for my newspaper. We were seated, you know, journalists seated in press center and seated in so many computers, what people doing, what cameras, what downloading pictures, what a big thing. It was in Manchester. Now, we were there. I was sitting there drinking coffee and sandwiches. And then the whole room went quiet. So I turned to look what was the problem. And a very beautiful girl had walked in. Now, the whole room went quiet. So now me, the psychologist, instead of looking at the object everybody is looking at, I look at other people's responses. Now I caught some guy's attention. And the guy looked at me and said... But by the way, I'd never seen anything like that. I thought an angel had walked in. In fairness, she was really beautiful. But the whole press center went quiet. Even people were typing were like this. It was a sight. Now, do you know that the people who are... The law, almost by which the world lives, is that the person who seems to be less interested is the one actually who gets the prize. Did you know that? That works even in those cases. Some of you know very well. Me, I don't. Some of you are experts at it. Now, somehow, when you try to, you know, say, when somebody comes, you just know that it's going to be broke all his life. Because money has a way of running away from people who look for it and coming towards us who don't. Amen? And by the way, that's the law. That's a very serious law, spiritual law. That anything, when you over put emphasis on it, now I can see somebody comes and say, now you know we don't have money for this. Somebody came and told me, man, I need 1 million shillings. Otherwise, I'm done. 1 million or I'm done. Now, actually, for a moment, I was tempted to give it to them. But then I said, now, for how much longer? Do you understand? So after that 1 million, I can guarantee you next time you'll come needing 2 million or even 1 million, and somehow you live like that. Nothing is ever sorted. So I thought about it, then the Lord told me, no. Okay, I felt led. He did not tell me, I felt led. So I said, no, do you have it? I said, no, I'm not in position to give it to you. I will never say I don't have it because I have it. That is a lie. So I'll say I'm not in position. And if you ask any further questions, I will hang up. Okay? I don't want you to force me to lie. I'm not going to give it to you, the money. And I don't want to offend you. So I'll just say I'm not in position to. Thank you very much. Make of that what you will. So I left. Now later on, we started interacting with him. And then I started showing him that every time you find yourself in an emergency situation, know that you missed God somewhere. Amen? Every time you are in an emergency, you find yourself in an emergency, you missed God somewhere. God does not deal with emergencies. Okay? And if you walked with him, you would never have one. Even one that appears to be one, you will never have it. So if you understand that God is not somebody of emergencies, then you will know how to. And I don't know how to communicate this to some, to, but you know, I had to learn it the hard way also. But if, first of all, if you don't get that 1 million, you're not going to die. Okay? Now, if you take your mind out of that 1 million and put it where your mind is supposed to be, then you'll get the 1 million. And I've experienced this at the beginning of my walk, financial walk with God. Because I would also have those emergencies. The landlord calls, then the whole world is coming down. Then this, then that. Then I would call people. That time, somehow, the Lord would still allow me to call people. Then I would call certain people, give me this. Then I put together something, then I pay. Then I dream at night when I had a math exam and I failed it. Now, some of you have those dreams. Now, especially math. Math has something to do with money. Now, you enter an exam room, and you're not ready. Or you're late or something. You know that there is a test which you failed. So, then I knew what that dream meant. So, I said, next time the test comes, I'm going to pass. The next time it came, I didn't pass. I still called people. Until one day, the Lord made sure everybody I called did not pick or gave me a regret. And now I had nowhere else to go but him. So now, that's basically forcing somebody to learn. So I said, okay. So I said, now, the issue was rent over, something like that. Rent, actually, it was. So they had even, man, you guys, like, they were threatening to bring, to throw my things out of things out of the house, and even call Gatari Kung Fu. I'm serious. And you see, because I'm a known guy, even outside of these watchman things, that would be a good story for Gatari Kung Fu. But now, when they tell you that, suddenly you start fearing, you're scared. But I said, this time I have to pass this exam. So I said, Lord, your word says that nobody ever put their trust in you and they were put to shame. Then I said, I am not going to be the first one. And I just said that and charred. Now, for some reason, the landlord who had given me a deadline somehow forgot about it. A week passed, 2 weeks passed, in which time I got the money. I don't know where from. And I'm the one who called her and gave her the money. And that was the last time I ever had any issues paying rent because I had passed the exam. Now, every time there is need to pay rent, I have the money either in my pocket or in the bank. Not a single time after that. Now, you know this. When you pass one exam, you never have to sit it again. That's the beauty of working with God. Now, maybe if I move, I've since moved, of course, to a higher level. But when you move to a higher level, you pass the same exam, that's it. God does not give, like, another exam when you pass the other one. And I didn't know that at the time. And I didn't know that even in things like sickness, I told you how I got malaria and stuck to the word of God and got healed. That is 23 years ago. I have never had malaria since. I've never suffered from it since. The test was passed. I could have taken pills and I would still be taking pills up to now. I get sick, then I then take pills. Get sick, but after I stood firm on the word of God, the test was passed. I have never had malaria since and I can never have it. Now, if you understand the fullness of understanding, there is a test and it's worth sitting and passing. Because after that, you enter another level. And when you enter there, nobody will put you back to the next level. God does not give you... Like, you don't go backwards with God. You always go where? Forward. Now, that house I was staying in, I was paying 800K. And when I passed that exam, 800K became... You know when you have to be reminded that, hey, it's end of month. Oh, okay. Then you don't even go to the bank. You go to your wallet. You understand? But before that, it was a big deal. Don't get me wrong. But I passed the exam. And every time I would fade it, I would dream the same thing. Going for a math exam, then either you're late or you've just started and they say, time, bring your papers. Or you know those things, eh? When I passed it, that was it. Now, since I've moved to a higher level, eh? Much higher level. But see, when you move to the next level, there might be also a bit of a test. But now I know how to pass them. Praise the Lord. Eh? And then now that's it. You never have to. That's the end of it. Now, I'm telling this to some of you because so many people are being challenged by God to move from where you are and find another residence. Because your next level cannot be contained or cannot be received from where you currently stay. I'm talking about where you stay. And I've said this so many times. And the Lord has been telling us, you have to move, shift a level for you to see certain things. Amen? Now, you say, I don't have the money. Since when did money make decisions for you? Praise the Lord. Don't let money make decisions for you. If God is challenging you to move to a higher level, who is going to pay for it? Are you the one who told yourself to go there? Let him pay for it. Now some people say, let him pay for it. Now he has to pay. God has to pay for all the expenses of ministry, what, even if I need a new suit, even if I what. He has to pay because he's the one who enlisted me. Isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible says a soldier does not go to war at his own expense. You'll never see a soldier wondering where he's going to get money for bullets. He's not the one who enlisted himself. That is somebody else's what? So it's his business to pay all the ministry expenses, all my personal expenses, all my cheating expenses, all my cappuccino, and he pays it. Glory to God. Now, I didn't even actually have, but what I'm telling you here is that when you start something, even a business, has a foundation. Praise the Lord. It has a foundation. And you have to stick to that foundation. And the foundation is not, I want to make money. That has never been a foundation. The foundation is, what solution are you providing? Now, when you stick to that, the money is a byproduct. Amen? But some people are too greedy. They cannot wait to... So you see, what's the scripture? One time, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16. What do you owe land when your king is a child? Eh? Your king is a what? So the land is... under some form of, as if curse, when the king is a child. What is a child? And your princes feast in the morning. A child is somebody who feasts in the morning. Eh? Like some of you, Katogo and what, you know. And so, but that's not what it means. Eh? Let's go to the next one. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles, and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Now, there is a morning of everything. Do you understand? There is a morning of a business. There is a morning of a ministry. There is a time we start a ministry and it is not time for feasting. It is time for sowing into people. Then the time comes for driving Mercedes-Benz GLS Model 2018. But now somebody has just started. He's trying to, even a business, you've just entered it. Your feast, go back to the previous verse 16. That you're feasting in the morning. It's not yet. There is a morning. Even when you start a business, when you start a ministry, when you start something, you have to know now it's morning, it's not a time to feast. That doesn't mean the time to feast is not going to come. It is going to come. But don't feast in the morning. Because you'll eat what, you know, you'll eat your thing up and to not even progress because you're in a hurry to feast. Glory to God. So there are times for all these things. There's a time for everything. Now, when somebody is not a baby and is mature, he knows it is not a time for feasting. He knows how to keep the foundation. The foundation, when I started this thing, this is what I wanted to see. This is how I wanted things to be. This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure in this country first, everybody knows that Jesus is coming back soon. Okay? And I was doing that for my eternal reward. And everybody, all the people whom God sends to me, I will lose none. Amen? Okay, that's what I want. That might not be true. That was true of Jesus. But at least I will try to make sure that nobody comes through my hands. And I either put them down, stifle them, or make them feel nothing. It cannot happen. It cannot happen. Some of them do it themselves, but I don't compete with anybody. I'm not scared of anybody. The foundation is eternal life. Amen? That's it. There is nothing else. Now, do you know how many top ministries get into these competitions? People whom you say, really? How did he get to that? And then they start unleashing powerful words which are not true. And now the foundation is... Now, and you see, there's a guy I know who is who is a Nigerian who had the biggest church in Europe, in Ukraine. I don't know what happened. This is a man. Ukraine is the most racist country in the world. But here is a black Nigerian with a church of 30,000 people. 98% were white in the most racist country in the world. Now, there is somebody who knows God. And I would read his books, and he said he prayed I don't know how many hours a week. He said he wants people to see not him, but to see Jesus. And from the way they were responding, clearly, his church even had MPs and what, top people, white people, pastored by a black guy in the most racist country in the world. Even in other countries where they are used to black people, like America and what, you will never see a church with a black pastor and even 50% people white. It doesn't happen, especially not in America. But now here is in a country which is now. I don't know what happened along the way. The foundation shifted. The foundation was removed. Now the guy is busy attacking every man of God, especially from his country. Some of them, he says, that one, I don't even think he's saved. Now he's talking about a man with a big ministry who is transforming. He says, that one is not even saved. My prayer for him is that he should get born again. Now you listen to the things, they are very depressing. Okay, I would take that from a baby, but somebody who has done what that man... Then you say, how does it come from this to this? You hear very depressing things. Saying, now that pastor so-and-so, that one is... Then he gets sentences he has said, then he tries to interpret them and say, you see, he's fake. We told you. But then he says, I pray that he gets born again. Now he's talking about powerful, powerful men of God who are creating powerful impact. But the foundation shifted. Now when you see somebody as big as that, coming down to that, don't ever think you will not or you cannot. No. Me, I learned that. If somebody who is powerful falls in a ditch, I'll make sure I watch my step. Amen? Because, you know, presumptuous is that, those guys are fake. Who told you? Have you served as much as him? If you see a giant falling, don't walk with it. Put on your shield. Because he's bigger than you. So my issue is this. So when I learned all that, I got to this thing, that foundation. Why am I doing the things I'm doing? It is not the what, it is the why. Why? The only thing that matters, why am I doing this? And I ask myself those questions all the time. If I find that it is for a carnal reason, I will not do it. Do you understand? For instance, if I bought a very good car, and I said, let me go and park it somewhere, and I found out that the reason I'm parking it there is to show some people, I will not do it. Because then you're reducing yourself to a certain level, which where you're not supposed to be. You understand? So you start doing those things of Kambalage, the watchman, never. Do you understand? Like that is so petty, I can never reduce myself to such pettiness. So I'll ask, why am I doing this? If the answer is that I believe it has eternal reward, then I will do it with all my heart. Okay? If the answer is I'm trying to build an organization with so many people, Now you see this school's ministry which the Lord told us to start, which we started. Regan is not here, he's busy preaching. He had some place to preach. And by the way, Abraham, first get a microphone and tell us what happened in Mwiri. I'm told you blew the house. You brought the house down. How many people got born again?
Mwiri was amazing. We entered Mwiri on Saturday night. They have a service which ends at 10 p.m. But it ended at 11 plus. The hunger there was too much. We released the Holy Spirit, and everyone in that room, they spoke in tongues. for the first time, I saw a huge number of students speaking in tongues, and we reached a moment when we cannot control, and I asked Pastor Regan, what should we do? And he had nothing, and I saw time was gone, and the children were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then the next day, Sunday, we had an opportunity to speak to a large crowd, the chapel. And I think 140-something students gave their lives to Christ. It was so amazing. And immediately we found them when they have they had an end time kind of like end time club. They call it end time club. But they said they didn't have what to learn. Like probably they had exhausted. They didn't know what is happening. But when they had us teach what we are teaching, I'm telling you, we have learned a lot in this place. I was telling people today in the intercession, I told the man of God, I said, you spend 52 weeks, 52 Fridays being imparted with this knowledge, and then you say you have nothing to speak to the people out there. I'm telling you, it is too much. And they asked us to keep on going there and teach them the end time, the teachers, what all of the people there. It was so amazing. But one thing that amazed us is when the Holy Ghost came down, the entire congregation, they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues, and they are on fire now. We have a watchman club in Mwiri, as I speak right now. We have a mandate to keep on going there and feeding them with this information almost on a weekly basis. We are supposed to be there. Yes, man of God, was so powerful.
All right, thank you so much. Now, this man here, you first come also. On Tuesday, he got a powerful word. And he has been one of the mainstays of the school's ministry. He has been bamboozling people with serious end-time knowledge. So, you know, shock and awe. where have you been this week? You see, even now the dress code has changed. Did you go anywhere this week?
This week, we went to a school with Regan. It's called Savio College. It is the other side of Kawempe. And we also formed a watchman club. And the bad thing, the challenge which we got there, it was time, because they were going to exam, so we didn't have a lot of time, because it started from 6 to 7. So we arrived there at 6 something, then we preached. But the profound thing which happened there, it was that most of all of those students, they didn't know about the end times, but we preached to them. Regan, he was the one who preached, and he preached about preached a lot of end time messages. The first thing he talked about was about the rapture. Then secondly, he talked about the New World Order and the 10-point plan of the devil by Alice Bailey. So he talked about that one. But then also, we prayed for them. The only thing which limited us was time, so we didn't go on. Okay. We are going back there.
Okay, no problem. The exams are soon starting, so we have like 2 weeks to do our school thing. But it has been phenomenal. Amen? It has been very powerful. So many schools have been visited. It has actually shocked me, the enthusiasm with which some of you people have received it, considering the first time when I told you, you were very lukewarm. But I had to first threaten you that your branch will be cut off. So people fear their branches will be cut off. But anybody who is called in pulpit ministry still join the school's team, including you. Are you in them? Are you one of them? You come. You're supposed to be, because you are... No, you don't. Including yourself, you're supposed to be very, active in this thing, and in praying for the sick. Don't leave any sick people there. It's okay, you may be seated. Don't leave, of course, Miriam here also, praying for the sick, prophesying. So while people teach, even teaching end time, so just go and give the full, the full thing. Amen. Now, talking of praying for the sick, anybody is sick? Start again. Start from the beginning.
And by the nerves of Muhammad, I've been one of these people going in for debates, born again versus Muslims debates, and I want to give my life to Jesus.
Are you sick?
The sickness that I have, the back pain.
Back pain.
Wherever time I wake up in the morning, I feel the back pain. Yeah.
Okay. You come pray for you. What are you suffering from?
The ghosts. The ghosts.
First, wait. Okay. You, Muhammad, how old are you?
I'm 24.
24?
Yes.
Say, dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I believe.
I believe
that you are the Son of God.
You are the Son of God.
That you came.
That you came
and died.
And died
for my sins.
For my sins.
To and brought me into the kingdom of God.
And brought me into the kingdom of God.
Now I believe that you rose from the dead.
I believe you rose from the dead.
For me.
For me.
Now I ask you to come into my heart.
And I ask you to come into my heart.
And to strengthen me.
And to strengthen me.
And to give me your spirit.
And to give me your spirit.
To guide me in everything.
To guide me in everything.
From this day onwards.
From this day onwards.
I am born again.
I am born again.
From this day onwards.
From this day onwards.
I am born again.
I am born again.
I belong to you, Jesus.
I belong to you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Muhammad, you have to be strong. Because you're going to come under a lot of persecution. And I know, like, who from, from people who, you know. Are your parents alive?
They're all alive.
They're all alive?
Yes.
What do they do?
Okay, my dad is a honey trader.
But I see there's some other guy who paid for his school fees who is not, like, who, like, was a bit of a guardian.
Yes. Yes.
Who is he?
That's a husband to my aunt.
Okay.
Yes.
What's his name?
He's called Ismail.
It's called Ismail.
Yes.
Now he's going to raise dust, but you have to be strong. Okay? You understand?
Yes.
You have to be strong. Now, this disc displacement that is causing the backache, oh, I can feel it's even very hard. Okay, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that back problem in Jesus' name, and I command it to depart from you in the name of Jesus, and you straighten it out now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and I rebuke every evil spirit that has taken residence in your body, and I command it to depart from you right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, I command you to let go of him in Jesus' name, because he is a servant of God and he is going to do mighty things in the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, I command you, Satan, to let go of him. Let go of him in the name of Jesus, and is now covered by this grace, and he shall be covered from this day onwards in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What are you suffering from?
And I'm somehow not feeling hearing well. Deaf.
Who is what?
I'm somehow deaf.
Yeah. Okay. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Okay. What's your name?
Adija.
Yes, Adija. Another Muslim who wants to get born again. Abraham, come and lead her to the Lord in Uganda.
Yes. Even I can you
get a new.
Yes. Urwale. Tegede rinya lyo. Namani. Pulide chigambo cha. Nikiriza. Nakusembeza. Umutima gwe. Kwaniriza. Jangu. Undokole. Naza. Ebi byange. Urwale. Webale. Kubanga. Undekode. Era njatula tindukuse n'omutima gwange wonna webale Yesu kubanga ondokodde.
Okay, now we are going to break that witchcraft which has been spoiling your nights. And tebigenda kudda, owulidde? Byonna tebigenda kudda. Ninjagala osoke kale. In the name of Jesus, I break every covenant that was made by your parent and by your grandparent that covered you, every covenant of evil that was said and that was entered into that affects you. And every word that was spoken over you that is contrary to God's purpose in your life, now I break those covenants. I break those attachments and even those things that they put in you so that you carry on a lineage of witchcraft. Now I uproot them in the name of Jesus and I cover you in this grace. And now, say, so you say amen, eh?
Amen.
And so now I cover you in this grace.
Amen.
I cover you in this grace.
Amen.
And I decree,
amen,
that the devil shall not come and attack you again because you are no longer his property. Now you are the property of Jesus.
Amen.
Now you're covered.
Amen.
Nothing shall touch you.
Amen.
And you will have wonderful sleep at night.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. You shall, those spiritual husbands who think they have a claim over you, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What's your name?
Hadija.
The second name?
Nansubuga.
Nansubuga.
Mm.
Who was Nansubuga in your family?
My father is in Subuga.
Okay. Now, those spiritual husbands who come and at night for you, now I command them in the name of Jesus to stop. Eh? Satan, I command you to take your hands off Hadija because she's now the property of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it shall not happen again. You are free, say amen.
Amen.
You are free, say amen. Say, I don't want those husbands.
I don't want those husbands.
Say it again.
I don't want those husbands.
I don't want that lineage of witchcraft.
I don't want that lineage of witchcraft.
I don't want to kusikira my father's witchcraft.
I don't want to kusikira my father's witchcraft.
Amen.
Amen.
So now you cut off it in the name of Jesus. But if there's nobody who is sick. Now, this man here is going to be a powerful man of God. Eh? You want to say what? Okay, this man is going to be a powerful evangelist and he's going to win Muslims to the Lord. Eh? Okay, since everybody of you is healthy, 100%, let us get your offering. Eh? Hey, yeah. Hey, before we... Eh? Our administrator, Claire, and our husband, Dr. Richard Kajimu, had a very wonderful baby. Eh? Which day was it? Friday. Eh? Thursday or Friday? Friday. Eh. So, by, you know, it had to be Friday. Glory to God. So we want to dedicate that baby before we go as you prepare your offering. Bridget, come. What's his name?
It's Joseph Daniel.
Joseph Daniel. Born on a Friday. On the Watchman Day. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, with the consent of Joseph Daniel's parents and in their presence here, we dedicate this child to you and we decree that all the days of his life he shall be guided by the Holy Spirit. Now the wisdom of Daniel is upon him and the wisdom of Joseph is upon him. He shall be as fruitful as Joseph and as wise as Daniel.
Amen.
And he shall stand out in his generation.
Amen.
He shall be unique even from the early days of his life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And he is going to be very sharp in understanding, even in school things, in the name of Jesus. And he will understand, he will be dreaming dreams at the very earliest time of his life. In the name of Jesus. Now I decree that he's covered by this grace. And he shall be the property of the Almighty God all the days of his life. And he shall bring people to the kingdom. And now in the name of Jesus, I decree that he shall not have any sicknesses that are common among children, even through his adulthood. He will be known as a healthy child, as a wise child, as a child who brings joy to his parents, as a child who influences his peers, who is a role model in his generation, and people shall look up to him for wise counsel and for revelation because he shall be that sort of child in the name of Jesus. And now in the name of Jesus, he shall even be a child who brings provision to his parents because of him. Now even as Joseph was born and Jacob got a new revelation, now this boy, his birth brings a new revelation of prosperity for his parents, for his sake, in the name of Jesus. And he shall be provided for all the days of his life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, get your offering. Let's finish and go and Let me pray for it. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for each and every person here who connects with this grace. And I thank you, Father, because none of them shall see financial depression. And all of them shall see an increase that fits in their faith, what they are believing for, what they are envisioning, what they want, the desires of their heart. I thank you, Father, because I release the increase that meets those desires right now in the name of Jesus. And by this grace, Father, I thank you because they see a dawn of a new financial era in the name of Jesus. Even in families, in Jesus' name. Even in jobs, increase in the name of Jesus. Even in business, new ideas in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, because all these things are true of these people. And I speak a blessing upon them by the authority that you've given me. And I decree that they are blessed. Say amen. I decree that they are blessed and their blessings manifest speedily. Say amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.